Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Thanks for joining us. A lot of sci-fi movies and books feature robots that look like people. Think Terminator or C-3PO even. But an MSU engineering professor went in a different direction when he started working on the construction of a robotic fish about 10 years ago. Dr. Shaw Botan is an associate professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering here at Michigan State University. He's been working on a robotic fish that can be used for monitoring water quality, and I am sitting inches away from said robotic fish. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. His group was recently awarded a $1 million grant from the National Science Foundation to work on a new robo fish that can track real fish in the Great Lakes. Welcome to Current State.
Thank you, Mark.
Where did you get the idea to work on a robotic fish?
So that was actually my favorite story. I was teaching a graduate level course when I first came here on smart materials, and there was a very special student in my class. His name was is Ju Kim. At that time, he was the assistant director of the diversity programs office on campus. And I said, why are you here? He said, I want to learn more about new technology so that I can do my job better as, you know, outreach person. So I said, yes, good, but you still have to do a project just like any other student in the course has to do. He said, what can I do? I said, okay, let's figure something out that it's going to help you and also meet this requirement of the course. Mm-hmm. So we decided to actually build a robotic fish with some artificial muscle tail. That was not built by him, but by a group of undergrad and high school students. So that was the start of our project, and we never forgot about how this whole idea started, and still we use a lot of these robots to pique the interest of K through 12 students now.
And what kind of information, assuming that this robotic fish that is sitting just a few inches away from me here gets into the water, what kind of information, what kind of data could an item like this provide?
So you're looking at here kind of steel rod, but it's actually a temperature sensor probe. So this particular robot does not get into lakes, but it can collect temperature information for water tank. This actually allows us to study many fundamental questions when robots, larger robots, get into water, collecting more extensive set of information such as algae concentration, dissolved oxygen, temperature, light, radiation.
It's primarily to study water, though, or other fish.
So the primary purpose of our research is to monitor the water environment. Okay. But one of the applications, of course, fish, live fish, are part of the ecosystems. So the project you mentioned at the beginning of the program actually was one such example. We actually use robots to also study live fish. In that case, the robots will be equipped with acoustic receivers to detect the presence of live fish that have been implanted with acoustic tags. So if you imagine that, you know, you look at sea lamprey, which is one of the most, significant invasive species in the Great Lakes.
Sure.
Right? So you can catch some of these and you implant acoustic tags. Basically, these are devices that will emit sounds periodically. And now if we have robots carrying receivers that can hear such sounds and detect, okay, there is one tag around. And then you can infer the trajectories of essentially the path of the sea lamprey and try to do something there.
Describe for our listeners how this, and it looks a good deal. I was actually anticipating something that looked less like a fish. This looks more like a fish than less like a fish.
Thank you.
How does this move through the water?
So first of all, this fish was, built mostly based on 3D printing. You would not be able to see much of that, but it is actually mostly printed through a printer.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, you see the nice painting of this robot with the scales and things like that. That was the job of John Thun, who is actually a teacher at Holt Junior High School, but also works in my lab. He's technology and art teacher. So that's why everything he builds is not only functional, but also aesthetically pleasing. So what you see here is the fish has, I should say the robotic fish has two side fins, which we call pectoral fins, and it also has a tail. So both of these sets of fins can move just like a fish. That's why we call this robotic fish, as opposed to saying anything underwater robot. Do you want me to turn it on?
This is about the size of a very healthy bass, I would say.
Yes.
It's probably 9 or 10 inches long and maybe a few inches wide. So there was a conscious effort to make this robotic fish, to disguise it, in other words?
From live fish?
To make it look as much like an actual fish as possible. And that was that a priority in your work?
It's a consideration, but not the only factor. Of course, making it look like a fish, move like a fish, would be less intrusive when we deploy these things in the real environment. So if you want, for example, track a fish, you don't want the fish to feel like some predator or something strange is nearby. So mm-hmm. So it does not change its behavior because we're actually putting some robotic device in the water.
Dr. Shaw Botan is our guest here today on Current State. He has just helped, he's played a lead role in the development of a robofish, a robotic fish that could be used to assess water quality and gather other data from bodies of water. Are there other labs that are working on something similar to this, or are you doing something here really unique?
There are quite a few labs around the country and also, I would say, of the world, you know, doing robotic fish. That's a very popular topic these days. But I think to some extent we're unique in that one of our major purposes here is to use these robots as a tool for monitoring the environment. Many other research labs are focusing on just the basics about, you know, how you design the robot and how do you understand the robot behavior, but we try to really put this technology to practical use.
Tell us a little bit about the grant you received. This came from the National Science Foundation, $1 million, if I remember correctly. What will you be using that money for?
So this is a 4-year project, so we will be using the money to develop a new generation of the robotic fish technology. And also, we'll have to figure out not just the hardware or platform, but the algorithms, basically, the brain of the robots that will make the robots capable of tracking live fish in a really challenging environment. So at the end of the 4th year, we are expected to deploy about 10 of these robots in the Thunder Bay on Lake Huron, just to see whether they can track lake trout.
How often have you had this model or any other robotic fish in the water so far? Has this all taken place in a laboratory setting, or have you actually gone out into the wild here and deployed this?
Yes, of course. We have deployed a robot. Her name is Grace. She's much bigger than the one you are seeing right now.
Okay.
She carries a harmful algal bloom sensor, basically blue-green algae sensor. And we tested it at Kellogg Biological Station. There is a lake called Winter Green Lake. As part of our collaboration with Professor Elena Lichman, she's an ecologist specializing in harmful algal blooms. And also we have another larger project involving people from computer science, from environmental engineering, looking at a larger problem of understanding and monitoring harmful algal blooms. So for these efforts, yes, we have been in the wild, not we, but the Grace.
Now, do you see this primarily as a tool for inland freshwater lakes, the Great Lakes, saltwater applications? Is there a particular focus to your work in that regard?
Frankly, we started off with much less humble ambition. We didn't even think we were going to go to the wild. So now we have gone to the wild, and now we have a project focusing on the Great Lakes. So really, I don't think there's any limitation as to what kind of environments ultimately we can go to. Of course, the technology has to be improved in order to, for example, to meet the ocean environment where, you know, for the water is salty and there are other technical challenges. But at this point, I don't see any restriction as far as how far we can go.
And clarify for us, what will GRACE be able to do that existing technology cannot do?
Sure. The just like the example of sampling harmful algae, right, in the lakes. Now, my colleague, Alina Lichman, she does that sampling manually every year, actually every week with a boat. She can only afford to, or her graduate students can only afford to go to one single point of the lake and do the measurement because it's just taking too much time to do more measurements. Now, with the robot, like just last, actually, end of August, we went to the lake and we basically took measurements of 20 so-called water columns in a couple of hours. So imagine the winter comes very soon, and it will be very difficult to go to the environment.
This has been fascinating, intriguing work. Dr. Shaw Botan is an associate professor in the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Michigan State University. He is working on developing a robo-fish for monitoring the Great Lakes. Thanks for being here, Dr. Tan.
Thank you, Mark.